This episode is brought to you by Sterling Soap Company. Fellas, you've heard the phrase, look good, feel good, right? But why not add smell good to that too? That's where Sterling Soap Company comes in. First, Sterling Soap is 100% natural and has a wide variety of bath soaps, shave soaps, beard balm, lotions, and cologne. Second, there's a scent just for you. How about burgundy? Yeah, it's more than a color. The Sterling Soap folks blend natural essential oils with hints of mahogany, golden amber, and sandalwood. Or how about D503, an intensely masculine scent inspired by Legend by Mont Blanc. And third, you will feel good about the price. For just a little more than you'd pay at the grocery store, Sterling Soap will leave you feeling clean, refreshed, and ready for whatever's next. Give Sterling Soap a try today. Visit sterlingsoap.com. This day in sports history. Hey there, and welcome to another edition of This Day in Sports History. It's May 7th, and if we have any Cleveland Cavaliers fans joining today, you may want to sit this one out, because on this day in 1989, Michael Jordan hit the shot. So this is Game 5 in the first round best-of-five series. The decisive game was in Cleveland, and the Bulls were stinging from the Cavs' come-from-behind win in Game 4 to even the series. And what made that loss a little bit more painful is that Jordan missed a late free throw that would have iced the game in regulation. Instead, the game went to OT, and Cleveland pulled out a 108-105 win. Now listen. Jordan had been fantastic since coming into the league, but the one thing he had not been able to do was propel the Bulls past the first round, and with his free throw miss in Game 4, there were some tossing around the word choke. Now, at this point, he had not hit the big shot like he did in the 82 NCAA title game, but that was about to change. This was a tight game throughout, with Cleveland taking a 6-point lead into the fourth. The Bulls took their first lead of the second half with Jordan's right-handed runner with under 7 minutes to play. The teams traded leads down the stretch, and then down one in the waning seconds, Jordan blew past Craig Elo, pulled up from 10, and hit a jumper to put the Bulls up one with 6 seconds to play. Out of a timeout, Elo inbounded to Larry Nance, got the ball back, and he drove to the bucket and had a driving layup with 3 seconds left. It was Elo's 23rd and 24th points of the game, and he was now in a position to be the hero hitting the winning shot. The Bulls called the timeout and got the ball at midcourt out of the TO, and here with the call from that game's final seconds is Bulls play-by-play announcer Jim Durham.
The inbounds pass comes into Jordan. Here's Michael at the foul line. A shot on Elo. Good! The Bulls win it! They win it! Set the Cleveland Cavaliers! Michael Jordan hits it at the foul line. 120,273 in stunned silence here in the Coliseum. Michael Jordan with 44 points in a game hit the shot over Craig Elo. What tremendous heroics we have had in Game 5 from both teams. What a spectacular series this has been. In my days in the NBA, 16 years, greatest series I've ever seen.
Jordan's jubilation after hitting that shot has now become iconic as he pumped his fist into the air. A few minutes later, he talked about the shot that he had just hit.
Once I got the ball, I just penetrated. I went up. Elo came over to try to block the shot. I hesitated. I don't know how I did it, but I hesitated and I shot the basketball and made it.
Jordan led all scorers with 44. He also had 9 rebounds and 6 assists. The Bulls went on to beat the Knicks in the second round before being eliminated by Detroit in the Eastern Conference Finals. So from that high moment in Jordan's career to one of his lowest on the basketball court, on this day in 1995, it was Game 1 of the Bulls playoff series with the Orlando Magic. Orlando was the top seed in the East, with Shaq and Penny Hardaway leading the way, and with 20 seconds left, the Bulls had the ball and a 1-point lead. Keep in mind, this is the season that Jordan had returned to the league after playing minor league baseball, and he was wearing the number 45. He had struggled in this game, hitting just 8 of his 22 shots from the floor. The inbound came to Jordan, and as he dribbled into the front court, Nick Anderson came up from behind and tapped the ball away into the hands of Hardaway, who fed Horace Grant for the dunk, and the Magic led by a point with 6.2 seconds left. No worries, right? Same situation as in 89, right? Out of a timeout, get the ball to MJ, let him hit the game winner. Indeed, Jordan got the inbound, drove to the free throw line, and then passed up the shot, instead zinging a pass to Scottie Pippen, breaking to the basket on the baseline. The pass was behind him, and it went out of bounds. Game over, Magic win. It was an MJ nobody had seen. Passing up the game winner? It was shocking. After the game, Nick Anderson said, 45 ain't 23, meaning the Jordan on the court wasn't what he used to be. Jordan got wind of that, and this was the last game that he ever wore the number 45. In game two, he came out wearing number 23, which was a violation of league rules. He happily paid the $25,000 fine as the Bulls won game two, but eventually lost the series. Now, on that same night at Madison Square Garden, it was Indiana and the New York Knicks in Game 1 of their series, and Reggie Miller single-handedly pulled off one of the biggest comebacks in NBA history. Down 6 with 18.7 seconds, it seemed as if the Pacers were done and dusted. But Miller had some cleaning up of his own to do.
105-99, 18.7 seconds left. Miller for three, and he got it. Reggie Miller with a clutch tray, and it's 105-102. And a steal. Miller retreats to the three-point line and hits again.
Tie game.
Reggie Miller made a three, stole the ball, raced behind the three-point line, and hit again.
Anthony Mason tried to force a pass to Greg Anthony, but Anthony fell. Well, he may have been pushed by Miller just a little bit, but anyway, game tied at 105 with 13.2 to play. After an ill-advised foul sent John Starks to the line for a pair of free throws, the Knicks had a chance to regroup and win it. But Starks missed both free throws, and Patrick Ewing missed a follow-up, and Miller got the rebound, and he was fouled. He went to the other end, hit a pair, and then played defense on Anthony, forcing him to cough up the ball, and time ran out. In a matter of 18.7 seconds, well, really, you can condense that down to just 9 seconds, Miller had scored 8 points and turned a 6-point deficit into a 2-point Pacers win. It was a crucial win for Indiana. They lost the next 3 games before rallying to beat the Knicks in 7 to advance to round 2. And in 1957, a scary play nearly ended the careers of 2 baseball players. The Cleveland Indians were playing the New York Yankees on this day. The Indians had the hard-throwing lefty Herb Score on the mound. Score threw a pitch to Gil McDougall, who hit a sharp line drive right back through the box, hitting Score in his right eye. In the immediate aftermath, Score's eye gushed with blood. He was blind in both eyes, and he nearly lost his right one. McDougald was nearly inconsolable after the incident, telling teammates, coaches, and the media that if Score lost his eye because of his hit, he was quitting the game. Score would eventually regain his sight and return to baseball, but it would take time. It was a full year before Score returned to the mound, and when he did, players said he just wasn't the same. Prior to the injury, he had been an All-Star 2 seasons with an ERA below 3 each year. After he came back, he pitched another 6 seasons, but was never an All-Star again, and his ERA was in the mid-3s to 4s, and he struggled with his control. Score blamed his arm for the issues that he had, not his sight or his confidence. And this is one of those what-if moments, as in, what if this hadn't happened? Score was on a path to Cooperstown, according to those around him. Teammate Bob Feller said Score would have been one of the best lefties ever in the game, probably better than Sandy Koufax, if what happened on this day had never happened. And time now for today's non-sports Did You Know? It's close to 100% odds that at least one molecule in that glass of water that you drank earlier today passed through a dinosaur at some point. That's all for today. I'll have more tomorrow on This Day in Sports History. This has been an original Thrive Suite production.
Hey there, Sports History fans.
We've got some exciting news to share with you. Six of our podcasts from the Sports History Network have made it to the final round of voting for the prestigious Sports Podcast Awards. Here are their shows and the categories. Historically Speaking Sports and This Day in Sports History are both competing for Best Sports Talk Podcast. No Nonsense Old School Weightlifting History is in the running for Best Fitness, Health, and Well-Being Podcast. When Football Was Football is up for Best Sports Documentary Podcast. Wrestling with Heels On has entered the ring for Best Wrestling Podcast. And Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing is fighting for the title for Best Combat Sports Podcast. Now, of course, we need your help to take home the championship for each of these awesome shows. All you gotta do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/vote, cast your vote for your favorite shows, or better yet, all six of them. Again, every vote counts, and we gotta show the world how much sports history really matters. So thank you for your support and making Sports History Network the headquarters for sports yesteryear. But again, don't wait. You gotta go vote now. That's over at sportshistorynetwork.com/vote.